Your Bibles. The book of Psalm, number 84. As we look at today what it means to experience the court of God. Experiencing the court of God. On ABC's Extreme Makeover Home Edition, a family submits a video of the extreme circumstances of their home life. Some may have children who are ill, and in their home, in its current state, it's insufficient to meet the child's needs. Others may be in dire straits financially and live in a home that is rusting and molding away without any means to make repairs. All these situations come up, and the extreme home makeover team then makes the effort to surprise them and builds them a new home normally within a week's time, an extraordinary task. This dramatically changes the living conditions and circumstances of the family. In other words, they have a new home in which they can dwell. An extreme makeover, home edition. For those who have died in Christ, God has allowed them to experience an extreme makeover kingdom edition, where their infinite dwelling place is one of perfection and celebrating minus pain, suffering, or sorrow. We call these people saints of God. Those who have lived on this earth among us, who have dwelled here, who have served faithfully, who have stayed the course, who have followed and done the will of God, and they have gone away to be with the Lord. And God has transformed their bodies to where they experience no more pain, no more suffering, no more anguish, no more turmoil, no more heartache. There's only rejoicing and celebration. Jesus Christ tells of this kingdom home in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, which we all know well, when he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. For in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." It's interesting, I've been to about 3 funerals in this past month. 3 people of whom who were very close to me, very near and dear to my heart. And the one thing that I know I can take consolation in and the families can take consolation in is the fact that if they were in Christ, that they have another dwelling place that is, as the Bible says, not made with man's hands. And the interesting thing is, the consolation that you always hear at funerals, especially for those who we would consider saints of God, is that there is no more pain, there is no more heartache, that they no longer have to live on this earth and dwell here where all these things occur, but they are with Christ in heaven. And so the question before us then is, how can we best honor those who have gone before us? When you think about those who you have lost in your life, when you think about the loved ones who have gone on before you, truthfully, we can't bring them back, but how can we honor their lives while we are still here on earth? I believe one of the best ways we can honor their lives is by experiencing the court of God here on earth. By experiencing the court of God here on earth. In Psalm 84, this psalm has been disputed as to who wrote it, but given the language that's in it, several scholars believe that David himself was the actual author of this psalm. And so he suggests in Psalm 84:10 that better is one day in your courts, O God, than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. David lays out his preference. Better is one day in the court of God than 1,000 days in the tents of the wicked. I would rather be a doorkeeper, somebody who stands the post by the door in the house of my God, than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. It's important, the context during this time, individuals would make pilgrimages to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast. And one of the things that they did when they got to Jerusalem on their pilgrimages was they went to the temple and they worshiped God. This was so important to this time period and these individuals because when they got to the temple, they would experience something so extraordinary. They would experience the presence of God. And so I believe important for our day are three things that these individuals, in terms of their pilgrimages to Jerusalem and to the feasts, there are three very important things that happen with them that I believe we can use in our day and age. The first thing is that they had the expectation of worshiping God. Verse 1 tells us in Psalm 84, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty! My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young. A place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you." This was the expectation of worship for these individuals. You see, when they went up to Jerusalem, and as they were going to the feast, they expected to encounter God in the temple. They expected something extraordinary to happen, not just on their journey, but when they made it to the temple, they expected a circumstance, a situation, something that had gone on with them previously. They expected something to change. They expected to worship God. There was an expectation there. Many of you know that I play college football. And during college football, my experience at Jackson State University, there were a lot of expectations made of football players. But I remember the expectation leading up to the game on Saturday. You see, the expectation leading up to the college football game in which I participated for 4 years was that we had weight training twice a day during the practice week leading up to the game on Saturday. We had practice each day. We had film each night. We had a pep rally on Friday. We had team meetings the night before the game. We had a pregame meal. We had tailgating for the fans. We had pregame warm-ups. We had locker room talk. We had a team prayer. We had a team chant. We had exciting locker room conversations. We ran through the tunnel. We see fans screaming out. We hear the band playing. And then we line up for the coin toss, and then there's a kickoff. All of these things are expectations leading up to the main event of the game. And when all of these things had taken place, we would get on the field and we were ready to go because there was so much hype leading up to the actual event. On College Game Day yesterday between Alabama and LSU, one of the best games in the country that would happen on that particular day. There were so many expectations leading up to this game. And if you saw the game, it was a great game. 9-6, LSU won. But people expected to experience something when they got to that game. And those individuals who were watching it on primetime television expected to see something great when they watched or turned on their television. The people of God should always be expecting something when we come into the house of worship. We should not just expect to come and experience some good singing, some okay preaching, some nice fellowship, and go home with nothing to take with us. But when we enter the courts of God, we should be expecting an experience to happen. The experience, you ask, what is it? Well, when I bring my things that I have carried with me all week long, when I bring them to the house of God, I expect God to work on those things. When I approach the altar or approach the throne of grace, I can expect to leave those things and lay those things down at the altar of God, because I know God can take care of them. So there's an expectation of worship. But secondly, we can recognize that these pilgrims going up to Jerusalem, they experience the expedition to worship God. One of my favorite quotes by Winston Churchill was this. He says, "Victory at all costs. Victory in spite of all terror. Victory however long and hard the road may be. For without victory, there is no survival." When journeying through this thing called life, we seek victory through Jesus Christ as Christians. Victory over death, victory over pain, victory over suffering, victory over all of life's circumstances, victory over all of life's obstacles, victory in the name of Jesus Christ is what Christians seek. We seek victory over all the things that the world brings in our way. But on the road to victory, there is an expedition that occurs. We experience God, but as verse 5 tells us, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage." Verse 6, "As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rain also covers it with pools." They go from strength to strength. Somebody say strength. They go from strength to strength till each appears before Zion. Now watch what happens here. This is exciting in the life of a believer in Jesus Christ, because we understand that as we are on this road or on this journey or on this expedition to the court of God, we understand that there are going to be obstacles that are often thrown in our way. We talked about forgiveness this morning in Sunday school, and often an obstacle to forgiving someone is the obstacle of unforgiveness. We have a tendency and a problem with letting go of those things that hinder our relationship with other individuals because we just cannot forgive. There are some things in our lives that we hold on to that if we have held on to for years upon years upon years upon years, so much so that when you're asked about it, you often forget what you held on to in the first place. There are certain things that we go through with our family or our children or our church family that are trying to us and trying to our faith. But the psalmist says here that they go from strength to strength. In other words, they do not get weary on the expedition to the kingdom. They do not get weary when trials and tests and situations come up. They do not get weary when people throw obstacles in their way. They do not get weary when times come up where they are called to forgive someone, but they understand it's so hard to forgive. They do not get weary when people are talking about them or insulting them or when change occurs. They do not get weary. But they move from strength to strength. In other words, because their victory is in Christ, they do not lose. In other words, because their strength is not predicated upon their own ability to do, they grow. Experiencing the court of God calls us to go on this extraordinary expedition in which we walk this journey by faith and not by sight. But as we go on this journey, on this expedition, we get stronger. And whereas trials and tests may come, we should get stronger with every passing day. Thirdly, the third thing we can observe from these folks who are going up to Jerusalem to experience the court of God is that they had an elation at worshiping God. Not only was there an expectation that something would occur in the temple, not only did they grow on their journey to the temple, but when they got to the temple, when they got to the very place where they would call on the name of God, where bonds would be broken, where people would be set free, there was an elation or an excitement at worshiping God. Watch what the psalmist says in verse 8. It says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. For better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. The question then becomes, why is the psalmist so excited and so elated about praising God? Why is this individual so excited about going to the temple to worship God? Three reasons. Verse 11. The psalmist is so excited because the Lord God is a sun and the Lord God is a shield. In other words, the Lord provides provision and the Lord provides protection. God goes before us and he lays out a pathway and a way to our success in life. And as we're going on that journey, as we're living into the cause of Christ, God protects us. He does not let anything come against us to harm us. He does not put more on us than we can bear. He does not let things come and trip us up and try us because he knows that he's with us. And when things do come up on our expedition to the experience of God, we understand that we are going from strength to strength. And that we're only getting stronger. The second reason the psalmist is so excited is because the Lord bestows favor and honor. In other words, God's grace and love makes one important, not just here on earth, but also to the kingdom. Do you know that you are extraordinarily important to God? Why is that so important? And to draw upon a reference, I don't know if any of you all saw The Help. But The Help that was filmed in Jackson, Mississippi, one of the maids that worked for one of the women, her name was Abilene, and during this time, certain maids actually raised some of the children of the house. And in The Help, this woman who was a maid says to this little girl, and she said this often because her mother didn't spend a lot of time with her, she would look the girl in the eye and tell her, "You are kind, you are smart, and you are important." Why is importance so important? Because in our day and age, there are often people who don't know their importance and their self-worth. Often we experience and come in contact with individuals who have not experienced the life of importance that others can often affirm to them and with them. Some may not have had fathers or mothers growing up. Some may have been put off. Others may have not had any status in society whatsoever. Others may have had low self-esteem since they were little. And when it comes down to the kingdom of God and building the kingdom of God, it is critical that we allow and help people to understand how important they really are to God. You are important. God loves you. And on this pilgrimage to experiencing the court of God, God bestows favor and honor. In other words, he shows you just how important you are to him. The third reason the psalmist is so important is simply this: God does not withhold any good things from those whose walk is blameless. In other words, God rewards those who are faithful to him. God rewards those who diligently seek his face. God rewards those who stay the course. God rewards those who study God's word. God rewards those who serve other people. God rewards those who experience worship life. God rewards those who commune with one another. God rewards those who walk faithfully with him. Experiencing the court of God, one of the best ways that we can honor those who have gone before us is by experiencing God each and every day. And in doing that, there will be an expectation to go into the courts of God. When you wake up in the morning, as cold as it may be, you will be coming to church expecting God to do something in your life. you will be coming to church expecting not to return the same way you came. You will expect something from the Lord. On the expedition to worship God, you will not get weary in all the things that you face in life because you will grow from strength to strength. You will get stronger. And when you get here, when you get into the place of worship, as you're studying in your own personal time, as you're listening to your gospel music on the way to work, as you're in your quiet time with the Lord, you will begin to experience an elation, an excitement at the worship of God. In closing, many of us use sugar substitutes each and every day, like sweet and low. Sweet and low is used by people who want a taste of sweetness without the negative caloric effect. I think a lot of Christians want to be sweet in their talk and low in their walk. But if we are to genuinely walk with God, if we are to genuinely be the people who God has called us to be, it takes us more than just talking a good game about the cross. It takes us being more than verbalized Christians. Individuals who talk a good game each and every day, talk about forgiveness, talk about love, talk about joy, talk about strength, talk about perseverance, talk about faith, and actually moving to walking and living this thing. Living a life of holiness, living a life of joy, living a life of peace, living a life of expectation when we come to the cross, come to the throne of God. Living our expedition as we journey from strength to strength. And living out the excitement that we have as believers in Jesus Christ. People should know that you serve God. And they should know it not simply by how we talk it, but more importantly, how we live it.